All right, nice to bring in Mark W. Sanchez on Twitter. Mark Sanchez, part of KMBR.com. Always enjoy talking baseball with Mark. Mark did a great job this week on his off-day column, sort of breaking down the Giants a little bit as we got ready for this weekend series. So, Mark, nice to have you with us. How are you?
I appreciate the kind words there. I'm doing great. How are you, Marty?
Very good. Glad to be talking ball with you. Were you there last night to see what happened?
I was, unfortunately, or fortunately, however you want to phrase it. I'm not sure I've ever seen a game like that, which is, I think I've actually said a couple times this year. I have not seen a team more shocked or happy than the A's were last night, which means that I am deeply interested in what the Giants clubhouse looked like last night. But it was insanity. I still can't really believe they lost that game.
No, and Bill Lasky was on earlier, and I thought he made a great point, and that was with Trevor Gott, that all of a sudden he became very rattled after he hit Chris Davis. And Bill's point was he would have gone out to talk to him or would have pulled him from the game at that point. And I don't know. I don't even know if anyone was warming up, if it was just Gott's inning and 7-3. You're not thinking grand slam at that point. But what was your take on Trevor Gott as that inning unraveled?
I'd agree with that he was rattled. He is not, we haven't seen him in a situation like that, at least this year, and he did not respond well. On the other hand, you know, it's more to the equation than just take this guy out, because you have to look at who you're going to bring in. And that's an enormous situation to bring in, you know, Harleen Garcia, who's unproven this year at least, or Tyler Rogers, who's had his own real severe problems. They just didn't really have, you know, a pretty good plan B going. And especially this year where you're trying to learn about the future and learn about the present and what guys you have, I think I still would have stuck with Gott, just because, look, you want to see if this is a piece for you moving forward. You want to see if this is a legitimate closer who can bounce back. And for the most part, he's been a good pitcher for the Giants, but you're right and he's right that was a rough step yesterday.
Yeah, I like Harleen Garcia. I liked him better as Jarlin the Marlin.
Me too. If the name doesn't rhyme, then, you know, what's the use of the name?
Really?
He has looked good, though, early. Like, he's a real pitcher, and I was pretty shocked when the Marlins got rid of him, when they DFA'd him. You know, Farhan pounced right away. The Giants like him a lot, but, right, when he's that backed up from, you know, the medical situation he had going that kept him from entering the pool right away, the Giants don't exactly know if they can trust him yet. So it would have been asking him a lot to go in there and, you know, save the game pretty much.
Mm, interesting. Mark Sanchez with us. Mark, this week you did write about the Giants, and you really did a good job of analyzing the phases of the game. Do you want to just summarize a little bit of that for us? Keep in mind, last night, Longoria, big game for him. Pence, another three-run homer. Sandoval blown away the whole game, really. Belt couldn't do anything. Crawford and Flores messed up that play. But you did a good job of really analyzing the phases of the Giants baseball.
Thank you. Yeah, I was trying to figure out what exactly we've learned this year. Because, look, with the expanded playoffs, they're going to keep playing. They're going to keep trying. But the Giants will even tell you, you know, this year is more about development than anything. And the three sort of breakout guys they have, you know, Mike Yastrzemski, Donovan Solano, and Austin Slater, none of them are the ones they probably would have hoped, is one way of putting it, because they're all sort of older, late bloomers. I mean, Slater is 27. He's not old, but 27 is when a lot of guys are, you know, hitting their peak and not just sort of discovering themselves. In pretty much every other phase, you know, when you look at Pablo, when you look at Bell, when you look at Crawford, at all these older guys, they really hoped that with these new pitching or hitting minds that they would take steps forward this year, and really none of them have. The bullpen, there are all these faces and all these arms, and they're still trying to discover what they have, and not a lot of it has been promising so far. The rotation has looked better. That, you know, maybe sneakily the most important Giant this year, I think, could be Logan Webb. That he's 23, he's still a legitimate prospect, and he's looked really, really good so far. We're going to see Gausman today, and he also has been really excellent the past couple of times out. And that is more, you know, can you turn this guy into a trade chip? He's in a one-year deal. But when you look around, there's not a whole lot of discoveries the Giants have made. Offensively, the nice ones are also ones you sort of scratch your head at. You know, can you – is Donovan Solano, who's, you know, been around a long time, who's, I think, 32, is that a legitimate guy for your future? So the breakouts they have had are not exactly the breakouts they expected.
Pitching-wise, today we've got Gausman going against Manaea. You were there in L.A. last Sunday for Gausman, who was just outstanding. And I was thinking Grant Brisby did something in The Athletic this week, and I know you'll write about it as we get closer to August 31st. But Gausman, to me, looks like a legitimate trade chip for the Giants.
Right, and not just as a starter. You know, we saw how good he was last year as a reliever, and especially this year in a season that's chaotic where pitchers are being asked to do, especially Giants pitchers, being asked to do different things than they've ever done. This is a guy who can willingly go to the bullpen and put guys away. It's a guy who, you know, if a team is short a starter, they can just trade him in and put him in there and depend on him. His stuff is legitimately great. It's whether he really puts it all together and has the command that day. On the other hand, it's just going to be tough to get many trades done in this environment. And also, I do wonder, you know, when you trade a more veteran guy, is there concerns of, well, I wonder if he's going to opt out instead of, you know, going to a new camp and being exposed to everything new and, you know, leaving his family and the comforts that he had developed in his home state or wherever he is. It's gonna be tough. You know, there was a report the other day that said that there were MLB is thinking about allowing, I think, 15 more pool players. Which to me that was a signal of, well, maybe they want a slightly more active trade deadline. Because that's the other part of this, where you can only trade players who are in the pool. And, you know, you look at the Giants or any other team, and the guys who are in their pool are either veteran insurance or top prospects who they don't want to trade, ideally. You look at the trades that have been made in the past, and it's usually, you know, 3 B-plus prospects will get you a good guy rather than, you know, your A-plus prospect. And those are the guys who are really available, the A-plus ones who no one wants to actually trade. So if that goes through and if there's more means to trade, I can see it being slightly active. But right now, at least, it's tough for me to see very much going down, as much as appealing as Gausman definitely is.
Okay. All right. I thought Cueto and Gausman both can help somebody, but I realize in listening to you, there are a lot of complications that go with it. What was the atmosphere? Again, you're there last night. I'm so glad you're out there. Even though it's a Zoom call, what was Gabe Kapler like after the game last night?
You know, I'll jump ahead to today.
Go ahead.
Just got finished talking with Kapler, and the first thing, the way he handles Zoom conferences these days are he starts with an update from Sacramento, because we're not there to see it, and media are not allowed, so he will highlight one person, you know, who had a nice day or something like that, and then we'll say, you know, open up the questions. Today his phrasing was, I'll open it up to questions about today's game. He is very much a constantly looking forward, never looking back type of person, and he very much did not want to talk about yesterday's game. Of course we talked about yesterday's game, but he was sending a slight message saying, let's look past that. Does not want to reflect much on it. He was forthright. He answered all the questions. It is difficult when you can't be in the clubhouse and we can't just, you know, troll around looking at faces and seeing what guys will say. I'll say that Wilmer Flores was dejected. He, to his credit, he sat up on the Zoom. He was clearly not all well. He answered quickly and said, you know what, there's just nothing much to say. I messed up. I should have stepped on the bag. He clearly took it hard and I think felt responsible for that loss. Even if he gets that out and it was awful, you know, God should escape that situation. But I do wonder just how that clubhouse was like last night, because I can't imagine a worse loss than we saw yesterday.
That was a tough one. So Slater back in there today, Solano back in there, Yastrzemski, the top of the order. And look, let's face it, against left-handed pitching, they do play better. Maybe the numbers aren't great. Numbers in baseball aren't great, to tell you the truth, for anybody. But they do have a shot against left-handed pitching.
Absolutely. But that is the strength of this team right now, that when you can put, you know, the top of that lineup, and also when you've got Ruff down there, that's a pretty deep lineup, too. It's not just that top-heavy. What is a pretty huge concern, especially with Slater DHing, because he cannot throw yet, and Kapler said we're not exactly sure when he can throw yet, so he's going to be DH for a while. But you've got Solano at second, which has been a concern. You've got Flores at first, which has been a concern. You've got Pence in right field, which is going to be a concern. You've got Darren Ruff, who's maybe a first baseman playing left field. They can absolutely stack the lineup with righty hitters, one after another, matchups they actually like. What they're, I think, learning is you can't do that on defense, too, where when you've got all those guys in, you can't put all of them at DH. I am curious, you know, this is a team that leads the majors in errors, just how they're going to look defensively, because it's been such an issue. And with this lineup and this look, it's going to be keep being a problem.
Who is the Sacramento highlight today?
Today? Actually, I don't even remember. It was not Joey Bart, I can tell you that. Joey Bart updates. But
I'm going to give you my Joey Bart theory, okay? Mm-hmm. First of all, I think it's crazy he's not up here. I mean, I think he can hit, he can help. But they have created a new way to catch, that stiff-legged, low-target way to catch. There have been some pass balls. There have been some catcher's interference. And maybe they're teaching Bart how to do that at Sacramento, and they don't want him in the big leagues until he can do that. Because Trump and Heineman seem to do it. They have trouble. The ball goes through, and in Houston, the ball went through Trump. I think it was Trump. Maybe they're keeping Bart there to teach him how to do this. That was my latest theory.
I can tell you in spring training 1.0, at least, they kept repeating how important framing was with Joey Bart, that they very much wanted that to be a focus of his, which has obviously taken on a new light with how many catcher's interference calls they've had because of framing, because they're trying to steal low strikes by moving the catchers up. I guess my issue with that theory is if he's working on it in Sacramento, and that's the reason, I'm not. What that suggests would be, well, they've got catchers up here who can already do it well. And that clearly has not been the case, where, sure, they're stealing some strikes, but with all the catcher's interferences with Heineman and Trump, you know, they're working on the same things Joey is, I'm sure. And neither of them has been able to get it done. So I'm not exactly sure that that makes complete sense in that for that reason, where it's not as if they have someone at this level who's doing it well.
No, and I'll tell you another thing. They are not trying to develop players at the major league level. They're trying to win games, as you said, and you analyzed it, with these guys. And they're very patient with them. Sandoval can't get around on a fastball. The whole crowd of them hitting under 100, 200, whatever. But they are going with them. They want to win games with these guys.
Absolutely. And that's been the most perplexing thing to me with Joey Bart, because it's hard to, in pretty much every other case, they are saying we're going to go with the hot hand or the better glove or the better bat. You know, Brandon Crawford's an institution here, and yet he's suddenly become a platoon player because he needs to be a platoon player at this point. In every other way, they're saying we want the best guy to play, we want to win, and that's exists for everyone else except Joey Bart, where he is, it's all about development. It's all about progress, but not at the major league level. It still perplexes me.
Well, we'll be perplexed until tomorrow, until we talk to you again. And let's see what happens tonight. And every day is another story, but you're doing a great job covering this for everybody. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.
It's always a joy. Thank you, Marty.
All right, that is Mark W. Sanchez on Twitter, MarkSanchez, KMBR.com.